Back on News Radio KMAN, In Focus continues here on a Friday morning. Chatting here today with Director Dennis Butler from the Riley County Police Department, and we'll take your phone calls here this hour. If you want to give us a call, ask a question, 785-537-1350. And just as I say that, the phone board lights right up, and we'll see here. I'll let Stephen talk to them and kind of screen them first, but before we get to them, Director Butler, there has been some changeover on the law board. We've seen, speaking of diversity, it's a little more diverse this year. First time it's a majority female representation here on the law board.
Yeah. For your listeners, the law board, except for one permanent member, which is the county attorney, the membership changes. It's outlined in statute, and they're appointed by city and county elected officials. Sometimes they do appoint themselves to these positions. So this year in 2021, we have three new members. One is Pat Hudgens, and Pat Hudgens was on the community advisory board when I came here, and so she resigned her position there to join the law board. And newly elected county commissioner Kathy Folke, she has been appointed to the law board, and Board of County Commission Chair John Ford is also on the law board as new members. So I always look forward to change. I always look forward to fresh faces and new ideas. So I'm very excited about the upcoming year with them on the board.
All right. Yeah. Very exciting indeed. And we have a caller calling in here. Robert is on the line. Good morning, Robert. Go ahead.
I wanted to thank you for the training and the ideas that you had brought in to the police service here from outside the area, and the changes that you had made that we haven't even heard about, having heard about the no high-speed chases through town, having been in Marion on that Saturday, on the Farmer's Saturday, when the three police cars chased the drunk in the pickup truck down through town, up on the sidewalk and everything else. Who would know that that there was a need for that until the event happens? And there's no telling what else, other than, for instance, the grandchildren's new stepdaddy used to be a county sheriff, and then he was a Kansas Highway Patrol, and then at 9/11 he joined the Army and went to Afghanistan to straighten it out. And one of the surgeons here at Fort Riley was talking about, having been in Afghanistan, the leadership of the units that would come in to check on their men that had been wounded, and wondering why none of the leadership had been a patient. Was that their awareness of their surroundings and their gut feeling that there's something wrong here, and watching the grandchildren's new stepdaddy deal with the county and the people, when he realizes something is wrong here in the interaction, it might be good with the training that I want you to do for your officers, because we want to have an anchor here. I lost one of my relatives, moved out from the police force to another jurisdiction, and I helped one of the guys before you got here clean out his garage when he was moving to Surprise, Arizona. It was a surprise to me, but I think that the training as an anchor to keep him here would be important, and I want to support you as a taxpayer in having that kind of training, even if we aren't aware of it and don't hear about it. This is just things that we haven't heard about that you've been able to develop in the police force since you've been here. Thank you for all your efforts.
Well, thank you, Robert. I do want to clarify one thing. The pursuit policy that we operate under was in effect when I arrived here. And back when I was still in Virginia, we were the first department in the area that started restricting pursuits. And others eventually followed, but it put a lot of pressure on our officers because, you know, they had friends and colleagues in other jurisdictions that were mocking them for restricting pursuits. And now it's readily accepted and practiced by quite a few jurisdictions. And it really is much safer for everyone. And so I fully support the policy that's in place here, and we review every single pursuit for policy compliance. The other thing is, when you talked about training, I just want to echo what you said. What you see when there's failures in police departments often is not a great hiring process, and then inadequate training. And when we can hire the best people, when we can do that, and we can also have a robust training program, and we have a fantastic one here, we are more likely to provide the kind of service consistently and constitutionally that our citizens expect and deserve. So we are very fortunate here, and we can only do it with support from the law board and from the taxpayers.
And that's another good segue is when we talk about training. Boy, we had some real good success in the Raleigh County Police Department. We reported on last week when the law board met, that you discussed about training with the dispatch center in the 911 communications. That has improved drastically from what it was just a year ago.
Yeah, you know, when I arrived here, we had a higher than acceptable turnover and vacancy rate in the communications center. And so, in fact, working with Captain Friedline, you mentioned her earlier, and others, we developed a plan to address this. It did require a little bit of extra funding, and that was done because we wanted to create two tiers of employees. There was had only been one. Basically dispatcher one and two. And so the idea there was to create two tiers of employees where dispatcher one would be more of a basic training program. And we wanted to just focus on those basic skills. And once somebody accomplished those and became proficient, then if it was a joint decision between us and that employee, then we'd start training them for dispatcher two. If they only stayed at dispatcher one, they'd still be a good and valuable employee. But by doing the two different tiers, we added a little bit more compensation to dispatcher two. And it wasn't a ton of money when you look at the amount of turnover we had and the amount of resources it takes to seek out, to hire, to train, and get somebody proficient. The amount of money we spent was really negligible. And the law board supported that plan last January. And I thought it would take about 2 years to reduce turnover to the point where it was at an acceptable level. We achieved that in a year. So it was way ahead of schedule. It surprised me, and I was excited about it. So I wanted to share that with the law board. It's that kind of approach that we need to use to attract more diverse applicants. And it's going to take longer because we don't have as much turnover in sworn police officers here as we had in dispatch. So we'll achieve those gains, but people, I encourage them to remain patient and understand it's just going to take a while to make some gains there.
Yeah, no doubt. And well, you talk about the backbone of the police department, and I know there's a lot of people who do important work, but the work of the dispatchers can't be understated at all. I mean, they're kind of the eyes and ears of everything.
Yes, and it is a joint or a consolidated, not joint, it's a consolidated communication center. So they provide dispatch services to all emergency responders in Raleigh County. And so it is a very complicated job because they don't just serve the police department. They serve all these other agencies that have different protocols, different codes, different everything. And so that was part of the problem, as I saw it, in hiring people and keeping them because they had so much to learn, so many expectations to meet, and they're doing very well. I sat through a training program the other day with some of our new dispatchers, and I was just blown away by how well they were doing. So it's going well.
Very good. Well, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and continue our conversation with Director Dennis Butler from the Raleigh County Police Department here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.